Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, June the 25th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's episode. It's another hot day in Kent and we'll have more on the weather in a bit. But first, a young woman from Gravesend has been charged with murder after a man was found dead in Dubai. Kent Online senior reporter Jo Crossley joins me on the episode. Jo, what do we know so far?
So at the moment, we have been contacted by Detained in Dubai, which is a human rights group. And it has basically put out Brooke George's story. She's 23, and as you said, she's been charged with murder after the death of Bill Treby, 26, who's also from Kent, and he died in Dubai. So what we've been told is that the TikTok influencer, who has 98,000 followers on that platform, met Treby on Facebook and they developed an online relationship. She then visited Dubai for a week and she kind of described it as the time of her life. She had a photo shoot, I should say, where she did a bit of modelling, which was all organised by Mr. Treby. She then returns home and goes back out later on, and on that second visit, she claims that his behaviour had changed and had become abusive and controlling. Things came to a head after a night out in Dubai. And George, who used to work at John Lewis shop, says that Mr. Treby basically became intoxicated and physically abusive. Following that, she doesn't return to the apartment. And when she does, she basically asks for her passport back. At that point, she's begging him. Apparently, this is all according to the family, we've got to say. So this is all alleged. And she's asking for a passport when Mr. Treby punches her. At this point, she grabs a kitchen knife and acts in self-defence and stabs him. She's then arrested later that day.
And what are Detained in Dubai calling for?
So they're asking for her to be released on bail. Currently, she's being held in prison still. And they're also asking for a fair trial. From what they've told us and what they've said, they're basically asking that the crime scene be properly looked after.
And have we heard from the government on this, Joe?
Yes. So the family contacted the UK embassy, and the UK embassy in Dubai has said that it's supporting them.
Joe, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A man's appeared in court accused of trying to kill his wife at their home in Ashford. Emergency crews were called to Fountains Close in the Willsborough part of town in April and found a 58-year-old with stab wounds. Andrew Baker, who's 61, didn't enter a plea and is due at Crown Court next month. A man who repeatedly punched his ex-partner before she fell from a moving car in Tunbridge Wells has been jailed. A court heard Tobias Dono also isolated his victim from her friends, monitored her phone and smashed up their flat. The 33-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for more than 5 years and given a 15-year restraining order. A repeat sex offender from Chatham has been jailed after breaching a court order. Andrew Veck had to stick to certain rules after admitting secretly filming a teenager in a shower. A visit by police last summer found evidence of further voyeurism offences. The 34-year-old from Ordnance Street has been locked up for 28 months. Now, firefighters in Kent have told the Kent Online podcast they can't rule out strike action as they fight plans to close some on-call stations. Changes to the service are being discussed at a meeting in Maidstone today, and the Fire Brigade Union is holding a rally outside. Bosses say they need to divert resources to provide more whole-time roles and invest in fire prevention. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Danny Barrett, who's the Kent Secretary for the Fire Brigade Union.
They are looking at closing five on-call fire stations. These are fire stations where our members are on-call firefighters, so they respond on their pager. They generally live or work within 5 minutes of that station. They're also proposing to remove four additional on-call appliances that are attached to stations. And again, these part-time appliances provide crucial cover. So when the whole-time appliance goes out, there is another appliance at that station. And sometimes if it's a two-pump call, then they obviously go with them. So Yeah, that's just the station closures, but it goes more than that. They're also looking at removing the second pump from Dartford and Thameside fire stations. These are our two busiest fire stations in Kent. They are utilised an awful lot. And unfortunately, fire doesn't discriminate. It doesn't stop at night. Okay, I mean, some of the stats will show that we're quieter at night, but the reality is we get more serious fires at night. People are sleeping. Fires go unnoticed for longer. The sort of severity of the fires can be a lot worse at night. So we have got concerns around what is being obviously proposed at the moment. And there's also a slightly bigger picture. It's also looking at changing the firefighter shift patterns into 12-hour shifts. So starting at 7, finishing at 7 at night. And also asking our day crew firefighters, which are whole-time firefighters, to work an additional hour on the station. So there are other changes linked to all these, obviously, proposals.
And in terms of a sort of practical sense, what sort of impact is this going to have on firefighting operations? And is the public going to be put at risk by this?
I mean, look, closing any fire station, removing any fire obviously appliance is going to increase risk. That's a fact. I mean, the more fire engines you got, the more fire stations you got, in theory, the quicker we can get to you, the safer you become. It's not just the public that will be put at risk. This is also my members. If we remove these stations, remove these fire appliances, they will be waiting longer for their, obviously, backup appliances to attend their incidents. And also, when you look at travel time, we're going to have to travel longer to get to some of these areas, which have been predominantly on-call fire stations for a long time, and now overnight are going to be removed. So we'll need to be serviced by the local whole-time stations.
And Kent Fire Rescue have said that these changes will enable them to tackle new challenges and, you know, give them more resources for things like wildfires and flooding and things like that. Do you think that's the case?
I mean, look, we welcome part of the actual proposal where they want to increase our daytime availability and put additional whole-time appliances at stations. We'd welcome that. But it cannot be at the detriment of removing cover at night. It really can't. And that's really the sticking point. So with regards to the proposals as they are, my members who I obviously represent, we firmly reject all the proposals as they stand. And I think that's important to actually put that out there. These are professional firefighters. We know the risk. We know what this could potentially do. And look, we understand that there's obviously budgetary constraints. And again, I'd call on the government to actually find additional funding for the fire and rescue, obviously, services. I mean, just again, for your listeners, since 2010, we've lost 462 firefighting posts in Kent. The reason that the Fire Brigade Union has called, obviously, a rally today is to allow us to interact with the fire authority members. These are councillors that will have the ability to say yes or no, really, to public consultation. We have made our lot worries known to them. And we're hoping that the rally will show the councillors the level of support that the firefighters in Kent are asking for. We will turn out and we will ask to speak to them. We will engage with the councillors. We'll try to get our point across. And it's down to them to vote this forward. So if they say yes, then it goes to public consultation. If they say no and want more information, then it's down to the fire service to revisit that and then to come back with alternative proposals.
And if this does go ahead and goes out to public consultation and ends up coming into force, could there be strike action?
I mean, look, nothing is off the table. I don't want to come on here and scare like people and talk about Kent Fire and Rescue, our members going on strike. That's not what I want to do. But it is a reality. It is a reality. And unfortunately, if these changes are forced through, we will have to seriously consider all options and all options available to us. Unfortunately, one of the options is taking industrial action and actually removing our labour. It's something that we don't want to do, but it's something that may become necessary.
Kent Online reports.
So we're going to turn our attention to the weather now as it's another scorching day in Kent. A red warning for extreme heat remains in force for the west of the county and an amber alert will be in place for all of us until Saturday night. The dry conditions have led to South East Water bringing in a hose pipe ban. Customers are being told not to use them for things like filling up swimming pools and watering gardens as demand across the network has been exceptional. exceptionally high. We've been getting reaction from Jonathan Hawker from Dry Wells, a campaign group that was set up after major water supply issues in Tunbridge Wells over Christmas.
Well, I think it's totally unsurprising that there needs to be a hosepipe ban. And I think, you know, people across, you know, the community won't be too bothered about the fact that they won't be able to use a hosepipe to water their gardens and wash their cars. We can live without that, but what we can't live without is drinking water. We're really concerned, though, that this announcement comes just 1 month after South East Water lauded on social media that the reservoirs were full and there would need to be no ban this year. It once again shows that this is a company that doesn't know what it's doing, and that's really troubling.
And also, Jonathan, we recently heard how much water's being lost through leakage. I mean, that must be also just as frustrating to hear that they're losing all this water and then we're being told not to use it.
Well, the reality is that South East Water say that they're one of the best companies across the country in terms of their approach to dealing with leaks. But I think anyone who looks at their Aqua Alert service will see that there are leaks in virtually every community across Kent and Sussex. And I think what that says to me is that they're clearly not spending enough in terms of upgrading the infrastructure that serve our communities, and clearly more work needs to be done. And the only way that can be done is if they put more money into dealing with the service across our communities rather than in repaying vast loans to the shareholders that keep this company afloat.
They've asked everyone to stick to these rules from today, but they'll start to actually enforce them from early July. But when people have had so much disruption to their supplies, when they've got water and they do want to use it, do you think they're less likely to stick to the rules because they're just annoyed with South East Water and how they've been performing?
Oh, look, I mean, I can entirely understand why everybody is annoyed with South East Water. And I'm sure that, you know, people in the communities of, you know, Whitstable and the areas near Headcorn, you know, which have had, you know, very, very extended outages recently, are absolutely fuming, because there's nothing worse than, you know, going to the bathroom and being unable to wash your hands, have a wash generally, or flush a toilet, or look after your children or elderly people. So I can entirely understand the anger. I think, you know, most people, you know, across society will recognise that, you know, the garden can wait, the car can wait, and they will abide by these rules. You know, but I think if you look deep down into the announcement by South East Water, I had an email from, you know, the current chief executive. Well, he's on his way out, but he's still signing his emails as CEO last night. And what, you know, he said is really quite troubling, really. He effectively said a number of things. This is an issue affecting the entirety of the county of Kent. He said that water levels are decreasing faster than we can fill it. And he said that every water treatment facility is at maximum capacity. What I'm worried about, and what Dry Wells Action as a group is worried about, is this is a company that says, oh, it's absolutely fine. It can supply existing properties and it can supply all of the new developments that are being imposed on communities across Kent. And clearly, if this is a company who says 1 month then there'll be no hosepipe ban, only to 1 month later say there will be, they can't be trusted. Clearly, they can't supply existing properties if they can't keep going during a weak hot spell. So how on earth can they supply all of these thousands of new properties across Kent? And that's why there really must be a moratorium on new development in our community until this situation, this crisis, water crisis facing Kent, is resolved one way or the other. That's common sense. And I don't understand why the government hasn't recognised this and come to help us.
Now, customers are being asked to follow the restrictions straight away and they will be enforced from July the 3rd. Elsewhere, eight people have been rescued from the sea in Folkestone after the Coast Guard helicopter was called. Lifeboat crews were also sent to an area near the Harbour Arm yesterday evening. Four swimmers had got into difficulty. Another four had to be saved after going into the water to help them. Meantime, two children have been rescued after getting into trouble while swimming near Ramsgate Harbour. The Coast Guard helicopter and lifeboat crews were called out yesterday afternoon. We're told the youngsters had already been brought to safety by members of the public. And police have been out in Margate as hundreds of people headed to the coast during the hot weather. Crowd control measures were put in place at the railway station with reports of antisocial behaviour on the beach. A dispersal order is in force across Thanet. And finally, advice to only travel by train in Kent if it's absolutely necessary during the hot weather has been extended. Southeastern is urging customers to try and avoid using the network until the end of Friday, while those amber alerts remain in place. It's because the extreme heat can affect the rails, trains have to run slower, and some services could be cancelled. Kevin Warne is from the operator.
We are running a full service, but extreme heat can affect the railway. Some trains may run slower than planned and journeys could take longer. We've put extra support in place with our fantastic colleagues in stations and on board here to help you. Extra engineering teams and network rail track teams are ready and waiting to respond if necessary. Now please plan ahead, allow extra time, carry some water with you and speak to our helpful staff for any journey advice. Check our social media channels or our app for any travel updates.
Kent Online reports.
A Rochester man who went on a shoplifting spree while being investigated for an assault has been sent to prison. Tommy Wiltshire carried out an attack in Rainham in April 2024. He then stole more than £840 worth of goods from shops over a five-month period. The 28-year-old from Cordelia Crescent has been jailed for 2 years and 4 months. A man who was caught on drone footage piloting a small boat across the channel has been jailed. The 29-year-old admitted endangering the lives of others after carrying 66 people in a vessel that was designed for just 20. He's been sentenced to 2 years in prison at Canterbury Crown Court. A woman's been arrested after Class A drugs were found at a property on Sheppey. This is the moment police searched the house on Church Road in East Church last Friday.
He's not in the back yet. Police! Go, go, go!
Yeah, that's
to search the address under section 23 of the Misuse of Drugs Act, okay?
So I'll put a tear in here so I don't touch a knot. But look, bags there, and then... I've gone to empty. It's... apologies, it's... no, there's some in here, I think, yeah.
They also found phones and laptops. A 45-year-old has been questioned on suspicion of dealing and released on bail. A survey by Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner has found that 83% of people oppose plans to merge certain forces across England. The government wants to reduce the current 43 into a smaller number of larger regional forces with the aim of using funding and resources more effectively. Matthew Scott has spoken out against the idea and says most of the 1,500 people who responded to his survey were concerned about the impact on local policing. A care home in Canterbury has been downgraded after inspectors found residents at risk of harm or abuse. They visited Chaucer House in May after concerns were raised and discovered breaches of regulations around safe care and treatment. The facility, which is for older people and those with dementia, has gone from a good rating to inadequate and placed in special measures. And the head teacher of a Kent primary school has done a loop the loop during a flyover to mark its 175th birthday. Brenzett Primary on Romney Marsh opened in 1851 and currently has 97 pupils. It's also due to open a new nursery in September to meet growing childcare needs in the area.
Kent Online Sport.
We'll find out today who Gillingham will be playing in their first game of the new season. The League Two fixtures are out and we'll have reaction in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. The campaign will get underway the weekend starting August the 14th. On to cricket, and former Kent player Jordan Cox has kept his place in the England side for the third test against New Zealand. He hit 27 and 25 on his debut during the last game at the Oval. The series is currently tied 1-1 and play at Trent Bridge was due to get underway at 11. Against sports club that was forced to find a new home after a WSL side bought their ground has found a new base. K Sports Hockey Club moved out of Cobdown Sports Ground in Ditton in June 2024 after it was sold to London City Lionesses. They've now rebranded as Kings Hill Hockey Club and plans are underway to install a new artificial pitch at the area's sports park. And finally, a Kent Paralympian is due to climb over the O2 in his wheelchair today to raise money for a leading charity. John Boy Smith will scale the iconic London landmark as part of a series of events to mark 30 years of We Are Beams. The organisation supports disabled children and their families with advice, respite and short breaks. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.